a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Looking for the latest on the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, and Aggies?
Yeah,
we've got you covered. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G, presented by U First Credit Union on 97.5, the Sports Zone.
Live here at Larry H. Miller Used Car Supermarket. Hans, we are in Murray for today's show, our home away from home.
LHMUsedCars.com. You can go and start your shopping there. But whatever car you're looking for, whatever make or model, that's why I love sending people out here to the Larry H. Miller Used Car Supermarket lots. Because whatever car you're looking for, the make or model, they're going to have access to it. I don't talk about this enough. Number one in the state of Utah in inventory selection. Nobody has access to more vehicles than the Larry H. Miller Used Car Supermarket lots. Nobody. It's number one. So whatever price point you're looking for, if you're looking for that, everybody's going back to school. You got the high schooler that just got their driver's license. Come in and talk with Johnny V, the crew here at the Murray location, and tell them you need something for $150, $200, $250, whatever you're looking for. You need to be at a monthly price point. They're going to find that car for you. Tell them what make or model that you're looking for. Maybe bring a gas guzzler and you want to get into something that has better economy, better efficiency. Bring your gas guzzler in. Tell them you're looking for something that gets you 35, 40 miles to the gallon. These guys can help you find those things. And I really want to encourage our listeners, go out, find the managers. When you go to your big green buildings where they're saving you thousands upon thousands, go find the manager. Come in and find Johnny V. Go find Mike at the 109th location. Go find Doug at 90th South. Go find the managers. Tell them Hans sent you. Tell them you listen to Hans and Scotty. They're going to instantly get you to what you need, where you need it, and they're really going to kind of push things along. Just knowing somebody's important. That's Larry H. Miller Used Car Supermarket.
So the Jazz just released their schedule, and Hans, guess what? We are 7 weeks away from the start of the first preseason game for the Utah Jazz.
It comes so fast. It's just shocking. Every single year, it catches me off guard.
First preseason game, Sunday, October 2nd. Jazz will be in Toronto, but actually that game will be played in Edmonton. Those are the home of my Royal Oilers.
Yeah. Can you believe it? What are the odds?
Yeah, no, crazy. Tuesday, October 4th, they'll be at Portland, and then back-to-back home games to wrap up the preseason against San Antonio and Dallas. And then your opening night game, Wednesday, October 19th, home against the Denver Nuggets.
Full disclosure, just being honest with everybody, you know how much I love Jazz schedule release time. I don't care much about Jazz schedule release time right now because I can't make any predictions on it.
Yeah.
And typically, I know a roster. And what I do is I go through my roster. I'm like, oh, sweet. Opening night, October 19th, against Nikola Jokic and the Denver Nuggets. Will Jamal Murray be back? Will they be, you know, and then I'm like, okay, but Rudy Gobert versus Nikola Jokic. And I love to just go through the matchups and picture it and envision it. You know, you've got New Orleans on October 23rd. You're in New Orleans after it's a road trip. Minnesota than New Orleans, and it's like Zion Williamson, is this going to be the year that Zion gets his act together, stays healthy? You know, you catch New Orleans October 23rd, there's a good chance you'll probably see Zion. You catch New Orleans October 26th, you probably won't see. You probably won't see Zion. But it's, for me, it's so hard, Scotty, because I love Jazz schedule predictions. I just can't put anything together until I know what this roster looks like.
Well, and the first thing I always look at, when does the season start? What are your long road trips? Jazz have a six-game road trip in March. They actually play from the middle of February to the middle of March, 10 out of 13 games on the road. November, it feels like they're on the road for the entire month, where they've got 10 games on the road in the month of November. Yep. Big homestand from late November into mid-December. And so those are the little things that I look at. And then I always look at, okay, well, if you're, you know, fighting for a playoff spot, what does the last stretch of the season look like? I'm like, oh, you know, April 4th, they've got the Lakers, 6th, Oklahoma City, and then April 8th, Denver. But all three of those games are at home, and then they finish the season against the Lakers on April 9th. So I'm looking at that like, okay, that's when they're, you know, battling for whether you're going to be a top four seed. And so those are always things going through my mind. And then I'm thinking, well, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. Is any of that going to be in play this year? Anything about playoffs? Anything about along those lines? Probably not.
Well, this is the first year since I've been covering the Utah Jazz. So 2007, this is the first year that I believe that the Jazz will be in full tank mode, actually trying to lose games. Can you think of a year where they actually were trying to lose games?
I think Kevin O'Connor wanted them to try to lose games in 2003? Or no, 2004, that first year after John and Carl left. But Jerry Sloan was too good of a coach, and they still ended up winning 41 games that year. So I think there's been some attempts to do it. It just hasn't gone their way.
So when you're talking about this stretch, kind of the back end stretch, where you got the Lakers twice in a four game stretch, and you've got Brooklyn and Denver on there, and you're talking about that stretch. Now I'm looking at that like, okay, so you go in April 2nd and you got 17 wins, and there are two other teams with 17 wins, knowing that the top three teams, the lowest three, the fewest wins of the bottom three get the highest percentage of your first overall pick. Like, well, then you really got to force the last three losses against Oklahoma City, Denver, and the Los Angeles. Like, you just want to make sure you're in that race to give yourself 14% chance of landing the 2023 number one overall pick. That's the most important thing to me.
100%
and
right.
I would love to sit here with you, Scotty, and break down these schedules and say, man, the Jazz could really get competitive in this home stretch starting March 18th, where you've got Sacramento, Portland, Sacramento again. You know, this is a really good stretch where you can make some hay. But I look at it, I'm like, all right, so how are you going to find a way to lose to Sacramento twice in a matter of a week and justify it? Because it just is not the Jazz MO. It was never Gail Miller's MO. It was, as you mentioned, they may have said to Jerry, we really need you to lose. And Jerry be like, what the hell? You think I'm going to tell Phil Johnson that he needs to back off coaching and we're going to lose? No, I'm going to put my best guys on the court, and what we got, we'll go play with. I think it's, I almost want to role play this with you. How do you sit down with your new head coach and tell Will Hardy, hey, we get it, but I want you to understand we need to get you the talent before we expect you to win.
Yeah.
For you to get the talent.
I gave you a 5-year contract. There was a reason I gave you a 5-year contract for a first time head coach. It's because we don't really expect you to do anything until about year 3 of that contract.
You know, what we expect you to do is what we tell you to do. And what we're telling you to do is not do a good job this year.
Do you think those conversations actually happen?
No.
I don't think so either.
Personally, I don't believe that.
I mean, you got the Brian Flores lawsuit in Miami where he's saying the Dolphins owner was joking about giving him a bonus for every game they lost.
Or did give him. Did he joke about it?
He joked about it. The NFL released their investigation. It's like, oh, no, it was just a joke. There's nothing there.
I don't.
But I don't
know if they just put the kind of the writing on the wall. I don't know if
I think that's what it is. And frankly, Danny Ainge can control that by who he has available for them to have on the roster. I think you can tell your coach, hey, yeah, go out there and you do your best to try to win games. But based on the roster I give you, it's not going to happen. Like Philadelphia, they could have had the ghost of Red Auerbach coaching that team when they won, what, 9 games that year.
Yeah.
That team wasn't winning 9 games or wasn't anywhere close to winning 20 games, even with a great coach.
I think some owners probably do have that conversation. I would imagine that's probably been done. I can't see Ryan Smith doing it. In fact, knowing what type of competitor Ryan Smith is, I can't even see him being able to really stomach a team that is tanking.
But
for the greater good of things.
I think Ryan understands that. Ryan understands the long game here. And remember, and I'll go back to this statement, and we've quoted it many times, Ryan Smith said there's no measure of the pain, using the word pain, that we will go through to bring a parade to Salt Lake City. And I think pain involves trading, frankly, probably the only all-star that ever really wanted to be in Utah in Rudy Gobert. Pain is also probably trading Donovan Mitchell, and pain may involve a very painful 20-win season for the Utah Jazz.
20's going to be too much, man. 16, 17. How brutal is it going to get? You know, I'm going to cover this Jazz season from a completely different angle. Like I mentioned, I've never had anything like this.
Are you going to be upset when they win a game?
Yeah,
coming in the next day. That's crap. I can't believe they went on that 10-2 run to end the fourth quarter and win that game.
I don't know. Like in some instances, will I? Maybe. Come in and be like, Scotty, how do you go out and win back-to-back games?
What are you doing?
How can you be so moronic? You know, I know you got to start things out. Donovan Mitchell wasn't traded, and Donovan's on the court. But really, you're going to put Donovan on the court for 32 minutes? And you're going to get back-to-back wins? In a year when you absolutely can't afford to have back-to-back wins, it's such a reverse conversation of anything I've ever had to fathom or come up with.
By the way, the worst record in the NBA last year was Houston with 20 wins, 20-62.
And you go back the last like three or four, and it's like 17 wins put you in the bottom three.
Yeah, Orlando with 22, Detroit with 23. Oklahoma City with 24. That's kind of the range where the Jazz probably want to be.
Yeah.
As tough as that is to swallow.
But
Houston won 17, you're right, the year before. But remember, that was the shortened season.
Okay.
Because of COVID. Let's go the year before that, the last 82-game season.
Should be 17. Should be 16, 17, 17, 18?
Golden State only, well, that was another shortened season, too. Back-to-back shortened season. All right, let's go a little further. Year before that, Phoenix with 19, Knicks with 17,
yep,
and Cleveland with 19.
So that's what
I'm talking about. You got a few teams there, really.
And I think the year before that, I think it was 17 and 18, but the year before that, too.
We might be getting into Philadelphia range here.
To be in the bottom three.
Let's see here. The year before that, 21 got it done.
21 was in the bottom three?
Yeah. 21 was the worst. Phoenix had 21 wins that year. Okay. This was the 17-18. We're going to be coming up.
What was the worst in the East that year?
Oh, hold on. The worst.
Because remember, you're competing with the East.
Brooklyn was 28. Atlanta was the worst at 24.
Okay.
Memphis with 22. Phoenix with 21.
So you probably need to be somewhere between 18 and 22.
Yeah. Yeah, year before that was 20. So, yeah, 18 to 22 is probably
in that
range.
I'm going to stick with that.
And hey, look, if you're going to do it right.
Yeah, if you're going to do it, because
the worst, and I think this is the NBA record, the Philadelphia 76ers in the 15-16 season went 10-72.
They really wanted that last pick. That first pick, didn't they? I think that the lottery was weighted different then, too. Worst record in that year, I think.
Was guaranteed the.
Yeah.
Or not guaranteed.
Not guaranteed, but like 60 or 40 or something ridiculous. Just so everybody understands, the bottom three records now each have 14% chance to get the number one overall pick. And this draft in comparison to the last maybe five or six before it, has, in my opinion, the most undeniable potential franchise changer that we've seen in some time. And I'm not going to act like I've watched every game of Victor Wembanyama. I haven't spent hours breaking down his game film. It didn't take hours. Just go watch for a couple of minutes. Go watch a 7'4" guy handle a ball on the outside, take a step back three, and knock it down. It's bizarre. It feels weird.
Yeah, you don't see it very often.
And he's really good at it. He's very lean, and he could go for a little bit of size, but he's got all the marks and makings of a real franchise changer.
Well, one thing that the television networks are banking on is that Donovan Mitchell will not be a part of this team. Because last year, with the Jazz coming off the number one record in the NBA, coming off a second-round exit against the Clippers, bringing back the entire team, coaching staff, everybody, the Jazz had 26 nationally televised games last season. Guess what the number is this year?
Wait, they had 26?
Yeah.
Okay, hold on. Let me take a guess, because I have not seen this number.
Yeah.
26. I go 12. No, 15.
You hear Lloyd cackling in the
background?
Yeah,
why?
Because the number is 4.
Oh, man, that's bad.
And I might add, it's even worse, because 3 out of the 4 are NBA TV games, which I guess you can count as national TV. There is only one game that's on TNT. No games on ESPN, only one game on TNT. And take a guess what that game is. And again, remember, the network's putting this together.
It'd be Utah Jazz New Orleans?
Nope.
Take one more guess.
Or, sorry.
What's a matchup that might be?
Oh, Utah Jazz Minnesota?
You would think that would be number 2 on my list. It's actually, and these guys are projecting a little bit, the Tuesday, November 15th, when the New York Knicks come to Salt Lake City.
Oh.
And that game's on TNT.
They're rolling the dice.
Yeah.
Rolling the dice.
So you go from 20-plus nationally televised games all the way down to 4, with 3 out of the 4 on NBA TV. Yeah, the networks are anticipating the Jazz, number 1, will not have Donovan Mitchell on that roster, and number 2 will be in the range of 18 to 22 wins this upcoming season.
Well, I'm, Scotty, as I'm looking at this schedule, I don't know if the Jazz, even without Donovan Mitchell, have the capabilities. I don't know if they've got the guts. I don't know if they've got the ability to mentally disconnect and say to themselves, the tickets we sell to our fans, the way we're putting together this staff, the way we've built this roster, we're fighting for 20 or less wins. I struggle knowing the guys I know, but also, Scotty, we have to know the guys we know in that front office.
Yeah.
We have to also know that they are intelligent and that they know, in order for them to achieve what ultimately they would like to achieve, winning 28 games, winning 34 games, is completely unacceptable in this year.
Yep.
And this is what I would... This is the plea that I would put out to Jazz fans. As I just mentioned, I've covered 16 Jazz seasons on air. This will be my 17th Jazz season that I will have been on air covering. I have never covered a Jazz team that I did that I felt like was tanking. So, Jazz fans, you've gone a lot of years and never had to watch a team tank for the better good. Everybody just needs to get on board with this. Just get yourself mentally geared up and prepared, because the ultimate goal with all these draft picks that you've accumulated, you've got 3 coming up in the 2023 draft, all these draft picks that you've accumulated, the ultimate goal is to get yourself the best position possible.
Yeah.
To get yourself the best position possible, you have got to finish this season with 20 wins max. No, I'll go 21 wins max. Don't even risk it at 22.
No, I'd say 18.
Because you know how many teams are going to be fighting for that. You're going to have teams that are actually fighting to be a better tanker team than the other team.
Well, there are, and Ben Anderson retweeted this, There are four teams, Hans, that do not have any games on ESPN or ABC. So the Jazz have one on TNT. They are in a group of four teams that have no games on ESPN or ABC. The Orlando Magic, which last year only won 22 games. The Detroit Pistons, which last year only won 23 games. And the Oklahoma City Thunder, who won 24 games last year. Jazz won 49 games last year. But these networks are looking and projecting the Jazz to be in that 20, low 20 win range. And I think we've all been thinking about it. We've all been anticipating it. But now the realization that this is going to happen, it's kind of a tough pill to swallow. Because I'm with you. This might not be a bad year for you not to be able to watch a lot of games on TV. Because there may not be a lot of good basketball to watch on TV.
Got to look at the bright side.
But again, it's part of the bigger picture. Trust the process. The whole, who was the guy with Philadelphia? Not Daryl Morey, but the GM that ran that program into the ground and then got them players, and now they're a playoff team. Maybe not as good as they would have liked to have been, but there's a process here, and the Jazz are essentially going to trust the process.
Now, what makes me nervous is if the Jazz accomplish what they're looking to do, get in the bottom three, they don't get the number one overall pick. They end up with the third overall pick and Scoot Henderson is best option, and they take a 6'2 guard. They take a 6'2 point guard. Then you'll see unhappy hands. I'm ready to lose.
I mean, you can't.
I'm not a loser.
If the Jazz have the
I'm
worst,
I'm ready to lose.
That's another.
I'm ready to.
That's
lose.
Another slogan. You've had a lot of slogans. We can put on T-shirts today.
Yeah, but this one.
I'm not a loser, but I'm ready to lose, and just have the Jazz logo.
Yeah.
Hey, what if we have? If we handed out shirts for fans walking into the arena this year, and it has the Zone logo on it, and it says, "I'm not a loser, but I'm ready to lose."
But I'm ready to lose. That's not bad. Let's give it to him.
Is Nate still back there, Lloyd?
Let's give the people.
Nope,
what they
he
want.
Stepped out.
I'm not a loser, but I'm ready to lose. Go into those games and cheer every time there's an errant pass for a turnover.
It's a critical moment. And Pat, I don't know, just ran Pat Beverly or whoever goes 0 for 2 from the free throw line and everybody just gets up and starts cheering. Way to go.
How about Chick-fil-A gets on board and goes.
Anytime an opposing player makes two consecutive free throws, you get free Chick-fil-A.
You get the free Chick-fil-A. And any time a Jazz player purposefully misses two,
yeah,
get the Chick-fil-A. I just think it is so important. It is so important because I've just watched the Jazz. Okay, so out of the 16 seasons that I've been on air, probably 13 of them, 12, maybe 12 or 13 of them, I just kind of knew that they were in a gray area.
Yeah.
Bit of a gray area. Like, well, yeah, they could make it first round. I'd be really excited to see them make it second round. Or the gray area of, oh, man, they got to win three of their last five to get the 8 seed. There's been a lot of that those seasons. I don't want that season. Give me horrific so you can improve your draft pick position. Or give me a team that is making a run at a Western Conference appearance. Not even a championship, a Western Conference appearance. That's my watermark right now.
Yeah.
It's not a championship. It's a Western Conference appearance. And I think we're at least 3, maybe 4 years away from that.
By the way, somebody's already added up the back-to-backs. The Jazz are tied with Chicago, Golden State, the Clippers, and Sacramento for the most back-to-back games in the season. 15 of them.
Jazz have the most?
Yeah, tied for the most. So the NBA is doing their part to help as well.
Good. Well done. They know what's going on. They can ease up some teams that are trying to make a push. Try to slow it down for them. Load up the Jazz a bit.
All right, Hans is... We're hanging out once again at Larry H. Miller Used Car Supermarket.
LHMUsedCars.com if you're looking for that new used car. And it's great to see people coming in and seeing what options they've got here at the Murray location. If you're looking for that new used car, come down and see this location. So, Scotty, I'm just looking at this front row. What is that? That's a Viper there, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is that a Viper? You've got two BMWs. You got a beautiful convertible Audi, a beautiful convertible GT. Is that a Mustang right there?
Looks like it.
That white one?
Yep.
So if you're looking for a muscle car, you're looking for that beautiful Audi or that incredible BMW, Johnny V really has stocked up on some great cars here at the Murray location. If you're looking for the family wagon, look what just pulled up, 2018 Town and Country. It's got the extended open side doors, and it's got the 20th row. And put 105 kids in there. Lloyd had called it maybe 130.
You could fit the whole neighborhood in that thing. Well, actually, eight.
Actually, Lloyd, they took out the third row. You could only fit four. But you can take the, you can find the family van if you just added a new baby. Come in, and you can get the third row on a beautiful family van. This is what Larry H. Miller Used Car Supermarket does for you. They give you incredible inventory and options, which gives you options for price points, monthly price points. And they've got the great service department, and they've got the backing of the Larry H. Miller Used Car Supermarket name. Travis Johnson guarantees you're going to come in, find the car you're looking for. They're going to get you the most for your trade-in, the most off your buyback. That is the Larry H. Miller Used Car Supermarket.
97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Coming up next, we spin the wheel. A little sports roulette straight ahead.
This is DJ and PK.
Tom Fornell, a college football writer for CBS Sports. You're looking at disruptors, and BYU's on a short list of schools you think might do that. Tell us what you're thinking and what you're expecting.
When you look at BYU's schedule, they get Baylor in week two. Then it's a trip to Oregon. Later, they're playing Notre Dame in Las Vegas. Starting the season, I think that BYU knows what it's going to be. It's going to be playing well, and that's when those games against Baylor and Oregon are in the first 3 weeks of the year. So I look at BYU as a team that in the first couple weeks of the season could already destroy Baylor's hopes of reaching the college football playoff. They could destroy Oregon's hopes of reaching the college football playoff. So I think the Cougars, whether or not they're going to be competing for playoff spots themselves, they are one of those teams that is going to have a say in who gets there.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 to 10 on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
All right, Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Sorry for the technical issues, but we're back. And you'll get us for the next 15 minutes before we get out of the way and let Unrival take over.
There you go. I know we got a lot to talk about.
All right, so we got a full wheel. We don't want to take any of these great stories away from you. We've got 25 stories on the old roulette wheel today. So we got a little bit of time, so let's get to it. Lloyd, spin it.
Want to go fishing?
Scotty, I watched the Manti Te'o special last night.
Oh, you did?
I did. I knew it was coming out. I've got a ton of interest in the story. I know the family pretty well. One family member in particular. And so I wanted to go and see what happened. Go see what it was all about. And they did an insane job of rounding up this Renaya. And this Renaya has gone through a transition and is now a woman.
So the person that catfished him is now has transitioned into a woman.
Yes.
Okay.
And they it's as much about her as it is about Manti. So they really take a dive into her life. Like, why did you do this to Manti Te'o? What took you to these insane depths? This individual tried to express themselves. Like, I feel sickened. I have a lot of remorse. I just don't think they did a good enough job. Because, and I know Matt Iteo at the end of this thing says, I've forgiven Renaya. But I can't imagine the depths that he was sent to. Because I've tried to do the NFL thing, and it takes every bit of concentration, everybody focused. You can't have any exterior detractions. You've got to have all your focus right there in the NFL, and I think it distracted him. I think that it took away from his ability to be the best football player he could be, not only in that national championship game, but as he was trying to build an NFL career. I think it really took from him. Obviously, it costed him millions in the draft.
Yeah.
From being what should have been a top five pick to being a second rounder. And there's no way that he should have fallen out of the first round. So it cost him millions, millions and millions of dollars. It cost him an extreme amount of embarrassment. He's done an amazing job of recentering and feeling good about who he is. And I thought he put out some really good messages. I think the purpose for him doing this untold story was to try to inspire people. I don't think it's going to be really tough to find anybody that's going to go through something as difficult and as extreme.
And as high profile as that.
And as high profile as what Matt Iteo went through. And everybody wanted to call him a liar. Like, you were in on this. You wanted remorse. You wanted people to feel bad for you. You wanted voters to feel bad for you so you might get a Heisman vote. And so you constructed this whole story with Renaya, and boy, they went through and they dispelled that. You've got voice messages left by this Renaya, which Lene Kankua is the girl that he made up.
Yeah.
Voice messages left from Renaya's little sister that he put on there saying, Uncle Manti, this is your niece Boo Boo or whatever. The way this individual constructed this, Scotty got to know his family members, called his family members in a male voice, making them think that it was Lene's brother.
Jeez.
So his dad had conversations with what he thought was Lene's brother and Lene's niece, and it was all coming from Renaya. And what's crazy, they go back and they do this Dr. Phil interview with Renaya. Because remember, Dr. Phil had Renaya on years and years ago. This goes probably back to like 2015 or so, back when this all started to surface. And the FBI told Dr. Phil, there is no way that this Renaya was the sole voice of all these different voices. There's no way. So Dr. Phil says, Renaya, can we hear the voices? And he's like, he was a he then. He said, I can't do it in front of cameras. I need seclusion. So Dr. Phil put him in seclusion with a phone, and sure enough, he hit the girl voice, he hit the boy voice, he hit the little daughter, the niece voice. This guy is actually a mastermind manipulator. Or this woman now is a mastermind manipulator. And I think should have served prison time.
I do too.
But
I do too. I mean, I don't know. Maybe
no,
not.
I do. I think what that individual did hurt and sullied somebody so deeply that they deserve to have their freedom taken from them.
I mean, in principle, yes. But what laws were broken? I mean, he didn't hand over any money to her, did he?
No. No.
He just lied.
Yes.
I agree. In theory, yes. I think they should have gone to prison for a while.
I'm saying in theory, this person should have their freedom taken from them. It probably should still have their freedom taken from them.
I know. I don't disagree.
It's actually a little bit scary, the depths of the lies. This is the craziest part. Now, I'm hoping you watch this.
I will. I will probably watch it later tonight.
So this is the craziest part. The day of the draft, this Renaya. Remember, he killed off Lene the same day his grandma died. So Manti's grandma died, and then Renaya calls and as Lene's brother says, Lene's dead. On the day his grandma died.
I didn't know that lined up with the grandma.
Yeah, same day. Lene is dead. draft day comes. No, sorry. Heisman Day comes when they're announcing the Heisman. He calls Manti and says, Manti, this is Lene. I'm not dead. And Manti's like, no, you are dead. What are you talking about? You're not dead. You are dead. And he and Manti said, if you're not dead, I want you to prove it. And this is how you're going to prove it. I want the Laie boy sign. I want you to write your initials on a paper, and I want the date and time. And I want the picture. Renaya called the girl that he stole all the pictures from, called the girl and said, hey, this is for a class project. It's for a charity. Can you just take a picture with these initials and this date and send it over to me? The girl did. And he sent it to Manti. So Manti gets what he thought was his girlfriend, gets this picture of Lene, the girl that he was, social media wise in love with. And she's got a big smile with the Leia boy sign. And he's like, she's alive. So he calls his dad and just like, Lene's alive. And the dad's like, what are we doing, son? Like, what are we doing? Are you kidding me?
And remember, this is a 20-year-old kid? 21, maybe, tops?
Right in there, yeah.
And just remember how dumb and easily manipulated you were at that age. No offense.
Yeah, remember, there was no such thing as catfishing then.
Yeah.
Catfishing.
I mean, there was.
Along.
We just didn't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it took his uncle, who was an attorney that had been working on a couple of cases, to first identify it as that to him and said, yeah. Because he showed him the picture and was like, she's not dead. And he's like, you're being catfished. Now, what was crazy is it was Deadspin that did all the homework, that dug it up, and released that story. And it was just that the twists and turns. The biggest takeaway for me was that Manti Te'o might be one of the most beautiful souls that you're going to find on this earth. And he was ripped in half by a master manipulator.
Yep. Yep, 100%. And I think, honestly, I'm a little torn on the whole Deadspin thing, too. I kind of wish that they would have sat on that story. Because eventually Manti was going to figure it out and everything was going to be okay.
They had the two creators of that Deadspin story.
Yeah.
Because one of them was an intern. And then one of them was what they considered the deep voice, like the guy that had the FBI dives, had all the databases. And those two said, we had to release it because we were going to get beat on it. We knew we were first, and we knew we had the material. We were going to get beat on it.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I wish that it would have played out, that Manti could have just come forward and said, this is what happened. Because Jack Swarbrick, the Notre Dame athletic director, he's a huge part of this documentary, which I was shocked. Netflix was able to bring him out of the woods. And he talked about the climate of Notre Dame and what they were doing behind the scenes with this whole story. Because they were freaking out, too. And Swarbrick said that the four major influential big-time voices that were advising him on how to handle this story kept telling him, just hold off, hold off, hold off. He wishes he'd got out in front of it a little bit more. Because by the time Deadspin story hit, Notre Dame was caught with their pants down.
Yeah.
And Manti Te'o, that poor kid, was caught right in the storm of it.
Well, and the problem is nobody knows about the woman who perpetrated it. You mentioned her name. You say the name and it doesn't resonate with me at all. And so
The one that Renaya.
Renaya, okay. Yeah. Like, that name means nothing to me. And I'll watch it and hopefully, but the blowback should be on that person. It should not be on Manti.
Oh,
yeah,
no.
But Manti's the one that's got to carry the burden on this for the rest of his life.
And he did.
And will continue to.
He did.
Like,
as much as you try to explain
and
people are still going to think he was in on it.
And honestly, if I were advising Manti and there's a doc, and somebody approaches me about a documentary and I know he wants to spin it and help people and have some good come out of it, part of me is like, I'm out of the NFL now. I'm living my life. I don't know what he's doing on a day-to-day basis now, but everything's quiet. I don't want to kick up another storm on this. this has kind of been on the down low. This is going to elevate this conversation to another step now.
Yeah.
And so when you think it's died down and it's gone away, now it's everybody's watching this documentary. And if you're Manti, I'm reliving this, and now it's on everybody's mind, and there's a new generation. I don't know if Wynn, our guy here, our tech, even knew about the Manti Te'o story.
You can't but come on, Wynn, but had you heard of the Manti Te'o story? I'm looking it up right now. You never heard of it?
You're not allowed to come on, Wynn. But Wynn is, he's, I mean, because this, Wynn was probably 9-10 years old when this happened.
Yep.
Wynn's our tech, by the way. He's helping make the remote happen. And so you got a new generation of people that are going to watch this documentary and be like, holy smokes, this is insane.
So I love that you brought up that angle, because I thought that the whole time I'm watching this, I'm thinking the exact same thing. This thing was starting to calm down. I think the information on it was starting to calm down.
Yeah.
Why would you do this? And I read a story this morning, because I was just coming off of the movie, I was pretty emotionally charged up. So I was reading a side story of why Manti gave Netflix the rights and decided to be a part of this and pick it back up. I guess he went to a Jay-Z concert. I'm not even kidding you. Went to a Jay-Z concert. And Jay-Z, to start the concert, said to the entire crowd, just said, understand, you can't heal from things that aren't brought to light. You can't heal from things that you keep suppressed and keep quiet. You can't heal. That's what Jay-Z said to the crowd. And I guess Manti was front row and heard Jay-Z say that and was like, I need everybody to know this story, and I need them to know. Because I have nothing to hide in this, yet I've got all these hurt feelings and dealt with the anxiety, and when I got done with it, I was heartbroken, but I was glad he did it, Scotty, because I think a lot of people get it taken advantage of, and it might not be catfishing wise, but people get taken advantage of, and I don't know if anybody's ever been more taken advantage of than Manti for nothing, for no monetary gain, and this Renaya couldn't even explain why she did it in the first place. She's like, I don't know. I don't know.
Which is,
I got caught up in being Lene Kinkua.
And it's just so hard for us to rationalize. You know what it's like to be a big-time college football player on a big-time college football campus. Because, and I want to put this in the right way, let's just say your dating pool was increased significantly because you were a great player and a starting player on a football team, correct?
Yeah.
You had options available to
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely, yeah.
And you're thinking, here is a Heisman Trophy finalist on a top five college football team at Notre Dame. Finding a connection with a woman should not be that hard, and you shouldn't have to resort to someone online, which goes to how incredibly
manipulative
this person was to be able to say, hey, look at all these women that are right there at your doorstep at Notre Dame. Ignore all of them and develop an online relationship with me.
So they addressed that, and essentially, Scotty, that came down to he was so invested in football and having to do school that the most convenient relationship he could have was being able to send a message.
Yeah.
That's it. He didn't have any other girlfriends. He was just able to send a message and say, hey, and she just gave him constant support of, hey, remember, say your prayers, go hit this game like it's your last game. She just always was the encouraging online girlfriend, but he never actually had to physically put time and energy into that relationship, and that was important to him.
Wow.
Because he didn't want to. So one of the other, you know, the other things that was really difficult is his sexual orientation got drawn into the whole thing. And for him, that was really difficult to have his sexual orientation become a big public storyline when that's nobody's business.
Yeah.
And the next thing you know, he's having to address things. And he's got communities that are saying, well, why don't you just come out and say it? And he's got other communities saying, hey, you better keep this to yourself. And he's got other, and he's got all these polarizing individuals and forces in his life, and all for nothing.
Yeah.
It's the most incredibly infuriating, frustrating story. I mean, there's a couple that are worse. I mean, that abducted in broad daylight is probably the worst thing I've ever watched in my entire life.
Not really proud of this.
D?
It's not my best moment. Like, there are crazy things. but this one is really hard to stomach. And I just want to say to the Teo family, they're an incredible family. Yeah. And don't deserve that.
Well, Hans, we're wrapping things up. We've been here at LHM Used Car Supermarket in Murray.
Larry H. Miller Used Car Supermarket. Anything you need in the used car world, you're going to find it. Why spend thousands of dollars more driving new when you can save thousands of dollars driving used? Why? It's a question I always ask. It's the reason that I am so founded and so excited to be a part of Larry H. Miller Used Car Supermarket. Because you can save thousands of dollars. Let somebody else drive that new car depreciation off. As soon as you drive a new car off the lot, you're losing anywhere from $6,000 to $25,000, $30,000 on some of these high-end vehicles. You're losing it right off the lot. Let somebody else drive that depreciation off the lot. And you can come in, you can get a 2022 with 4,000, 6,000 miles on it. You can get that car that has the depreciation driven off of it. Right here at Larry H. Miller Used Car Supermarket. Trucks, SUVs, minivans, anything on the higher end here at Johnny V's location, the Murray location, you're going to find those great BMWs, Audis. It's here for you. Larry H. Miller Used Car Supermarket. Love these guys. Proud to be a part of them. Six locations across the Wasatch Front. You can find every single location at LHMUsedCars.com.
Coming up next, Unrivaled, straight ahead, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.